This is Dial of Saints introducing Saint Monica. Monica was the child of Christian parents who lived in the small town of Tagaste, North Africa, in the region known today as Tunisia. She was born in 332, during the time when the Roman Empire still maintained peace in the Mediterranean area and allowed Christians to openly practice their religion.
Her parents were well off and had household slaves. One in particular taught Monica that she was not to drink even water between meals, saying, "You drink water now because you are not allowed to have wine, but when you are married, I am in charge of the food store and the wine cellar, the habit of drinking will still remain." Sure enough, when she was older, the new duty of bringing wine for the family became her problem. She started to sample a little wine on each trip to the wine cellar, and then started drinking more and more until she was drinking entire cups full. This dangerous habit was observed by the slaves until one day, during an argument with one, she was accused of being an alcoholic. This charge so surprised her that she stopped drinking from that day.
Monica had a deep love of God. When no one was watching, she would visit in the church, often to be scolded by her worried parents when she returned home. Sometimes she would even get up during the night to pray to God. She had a steady personality, was very patient with others, and had a strong determination to place her trust in God.
When she was 22, her father arranged for her to marry a town official named Patricius. Unfortunately, Monica and her husband were different in many ways. He was a pagan, 33 years her elder. He had no interest in Christianity. He was a violent and a brutal man, with a local reputation for immorality. His only redeeming quality was his generosity.
Monica planned a strategy so she could not only grow in her love for God, but with God's grace, influence her husband to do the same. When he was angry, she chose to be quiet. When he was violent, she was patient. When she heard of his immorality, she was prayerful. When he was brutal, she was gentle. She knew she could not fight at her husband when he was angry. Her opportunity for explanations would come when he was quiet.
While the village married women gossiped about their husband's shortcomings, and most of them carried marks of beatings, they had to admit that Monica's prayers and patience worked, since she never shared their same faith. Monica's family did have quarrels, but they were not long-lived. Another trial for Monica was her mother-in-law, who was well-meaning, but proud and suspicious. But in the end, Monica's patience won her over, and during her 18 years of marriage, earned everyone's love and trust.
Monica's prayers were answered before Patricius' death, when he recognized his own failings and asked to be baptized into the Christian faith. While Monica had been made stronger through her sufferings and joys as a wife, she would reach a still higher level of holiness through her efforts to help her son, Augustine.
Augustine was the oldest of Monica's three children and the one who really tested her love and faith in God. Even before her husband's death, Augustine, who is our main source of information, tells us in his book, The Confessions, how Monica taught him as a child about God and how he was gifted with ability. Her words became a part of him, even though he tried to evade all of his schoolwork. He even prayed out loud that he could escape the beatings from missed assignments, much to the amusement of his classmates and the despair of his mother. Augustine was a smart boy who could learn quickly when he wanted, but Monica had to force him at every step. His father saw his talents and sent him to a larger school in a town nearby. Away from his mother's guidance, he became interested in the pagan writers who were part of the school's curriculum. Their praise of humanity and love led Augustine to accept all of the sexual freedoms which they suggested would surely bring happiness.
I had arrived at adolescence and burned for all the satisfactions of hell. I sank to the animal in a succession of dark lusts, and I sank in the eyes of God, yet was pleasing in my own and anxious to please the eyes of others.
When he was 16, his proud parents sent him to Carthage for advanced studies, little suspecting what type of private life he was living. Still, Monica counseled Augustine, reminding him of his obligation to God by attending church and living the commandments daily. Outwardly, Augustine accepted these duties.
All these words are just woman talk. It seems foolish for a man of my abilities to be bossed around by even my mother.
But some years later, he was forced to say,
My God, you were speaking to me through her, and in ignoring her, I was ignoring you.
Carthage was a center of Roman culture and offered great luxury and many pleasures for students who were eager for freedom and loose living. Augustine became a top student in the school of rhetoric and quite puffed up, thinking of his own importance.
I was in love with loving, yet within me was hunger for you, God. Yet I hated the thought of you, and I tried to satisfy myself with whatever I could find. O God, make me pure and chaste, but not quite yet.
He found a girl whom he lived with for the next 15 years, but this made him no happier than he was before. Indeed, he became a father when he was just 18 years old. Now, nothing could be hidden from his mother. We can imagine Monica's feelings when she heard about this and realized the moral condition of her son. For many years, she would pray and weep before God. Her tears became her prayers for the conversion of her son.
She was able to move to Carthage so she could be near Augustine to encourage him not to give up his studies. She knew that while a little knowledge had turned him away from God, much knowledge would bring him back. Through Monica's perseverance, Augustine read the Bible and Christian writers, but because of his pride, he still joined the popular cults of the day.
After his schooling, Augustine traveled back to Tagaste for a time. Then he misled his mother and went by himself to Rome and then to Milan, where he took the job of city official in charge of rhetoric. The bishop of Milan at the time was St. Ambrose.
I went to hear him speak only because we were both professionals. My interest was in learning how he said things, not in what he said. But, along with the words which I admired, I began to see that the subject matter could not be separated, and slowly realized that he spoke the truth.
Monica also tearfully begged this well-known bishop to talk with Augustine. Ambrose knew that her son's hard heart would not listen to his advice, but he said, As sure as you live, it is impossible that the son of these tears should perish. Monica knew that for her son to become a Christian, he had to agree to a real marriage. She persuaded his mistress to leave, but could hardly believe it when he found another. Despairing for her son's salvation, she also persuaded this one to leave.
Her prayers were finally answered one day, when Augustine was speaking with a friend in the government. The man's own conversion had come as he had answered the question, What are we aiming at? Have we no higher hopes than to be the emperor's friends? And what good will that do us? Why not become the friends of God?
Suddenly, I saw how vile, twisted, unclean, and spotted I really was. There was nowhere to hide. The truth was before me. I had refused you, my God. What is wrong with me, that the unlearned can capture heaven, but me, with my learning, am stuck fast in the flesh of this world? O Lord, how long can I evade you? Cleanse me now.
Suddenly, Augustine heard a voice repeating over and over, Take and read, take and read. Augustine saw the Bible on the table. He opened it and read, Let us live honorably as in daylight, not in carousing, not in sexual excess and lust, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and have no interest in the flesh.
With no more hesitation, Augustine told Monica the good news of his conversion. Joyfully, she realized that her prayers of the past 33 years had been answered. She had asked that Augustine return to the Christian faith and marry, but God rewarded her further. Augustine gave up his chair of rhetoric, became a baptized Christian, and decided not to marry. Later, he would become a bishop in Africa and one of the leaders of the church.
Their group, which now included Monica, her son, and several friends, left Milan to return to Africa. On the way, Monica, who was now 55, took sick and died of a fever within 5 days. She had no more to ask of God. All her prayers and tears had been answered.
Monica's life was an example of love. She is the patroness of married women and an ideal pattern for all Christian mothers. She was declared to be a saint in about the year 1430. The example of Monica's faith and prayer should remind us that constant prayer is not only heard, but rewarded in ways far beyond what we can even imagine.